You're listening to the Monday, Thursday edition of His Time. With me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Good morning, Andy. A blessed Monday, Thursday to you.
Thank you. To you as well.
Special day.
It is. It is. And, here in St. Louis, it's kind of gloomy for this Monday, Thursday outside. It's cloudy.
This would be breezy. Good Friday weather.
Exactly. Exactly. What do you have for us this Monday, Thursday edition of Historically Speaking?
Right. It's a special Historically Speaking, so I brought some special things. I had mentioned earlier this God Granted, a devotional from the writings of C.F.W. Walther. So I thought I'd read something that he preached on Monday, Thursday. And he talks about the Lord's Supper and our fellowship in Christ. So C.F.W. Walther writes, "The Lord's Supper increases the Christian's love precisely because Christ's body and blood are present and received in it. As the Apostle Paul explains in our text, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread." Paul is asking us, as we eat of the blessed bread and drink from the blessed cup, to remember that we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. They are common to all of us, and by receiving them, we enter a body and blood fellowship. As bread comes from many pieces of grain, so in the Holy Supper we become one body, one people, although we are many. Because we partake of the one bread, the same body and blood of Christ, the supper is a meal of the most intimate communion, and thus it is a meal that demands and encourages an intimate love. We gather as equal children, as at the family table of our common Heavenly Father. We may be greatly different from other communicants in everyday life, but here at the Holy Supper, all of our differences disappear. We all share the same earthly and heavenly bread and drink. The subject and the king, the slave and the master, the beggar and the rich person, the young and the old, the woman and the man, the simplest and the most highly educated. Here all communicants stand as sinners and beggars who are poor, hungry, and thirsty for grace. One of us may stand at the table in coarse smock, while another comes in velvet and silk adorned with gold and pearls. But when we depart, we are both clothed with Christ's blood and righteousness."
As you were reading that, I could hear the hymn in my head. As the grains of wheat once gathered on the hill. Was that, or were you thinking of another hymn?
No, in one of the liturgies, that is the announcement at the beginning before the before the general confession, is that this meal brings all of us together as Christians. So I like this. When you come up for the Lord's Supper, you never know who you're going to be rubbing elbows against, and again, this is why we want to take care of the difficulties that we have with one another before we come up for the meal, so that that communion is unhindered by, you know, our personal grudges and things like that. So this is a very special day. It was a very special day as Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, and He means this as a eternal blessing for His church.
And it's not just, I mean, this is a feast that's going on here, but is it not also in eternity?
Yeah. There's a story, I think Art Just talks about a family very tragically lost their young son. And this makes the phrase that's announced before the Lord's Supper even more meaningful, with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So here we're united with the saints that have gone before. Very, very special.
Which is a clear segue
right
into an announcement that some might have already heard.
Right. So some congregations call it Palm Sunday. Other congregations call it Passion Sunday. But this last Sunday, the Lord in His wisdom, in His grace, told His servant, Dr. Otto Hinze, time to come home. So while we're waving palm branches, singing Hosanna in our congregations. Otto Hinze was with palms in his hand, singing Hosannas in heaven. And, you know, again, the Lord in his wisdom said, come home, Otto. But his history in the Lutheran Church is just outstanding. And we give, as Otto would, give all glory and praise to God for what he did through Otto Hinze, Dr. Willard Burse, the two first missionaries to Papua New Guinea. So Concordia Historical Institute is so thankful that we had this special exhibit on the mission work in Papua New Guinea, and that Otto could enjoy that. He could take his family, show some of the history of his 17 years in a region of the world that there was no written language, there was no understanding of the gospel, and he was placed in the position of learning a new language, reducing that to writing, and then translating the scriptures and sharing that with what became, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
And he chronicles all of that in his book, right? From Ghost to God in Ingoland.
Exactly. And this is available. You can buy it on Amazon. This book that, a labor of love that took months and months and months to produce. And again, in his wisdom, God allowed Otto Hinze to see that book finished and published and out to the world.
Yeah, I had the privilege of talking with him this past year, and I'm very grateful for that, to talk about his book and his service in Papua New Guinea.
He wore a lot of hats, you know. Mm-hmm. As a missionary in Papua New Guinea, there were just were not a lot of resources. So you have to be missionary, engineer, you know, all of that, agriculturalist, all of that together, doctor. But after that 17 years in Papua New Guinea, he went and taught at the seminary in what was then Springfield for 10 years. He was chaplain here at the International Center on the mission board. Just had a love for getting the word out, you know, keeping it straight and getting it out.
Hmm. Thanks be to God for the ministry of Otto Hinze.
Right. So we would encourage people, if you have not seen the exhibit on Papua New Guinea at Concordia Historical Institute, give us a call, and during the week it's open. That will probably be coming down sometime this summer as we get ready for 2017 and the Reformation. So we had the same thing with the Dürer woodcuts. You know, we told people, okay, we're getting towards the end, and then the week after it was all done, we had a group of people coming in saying, we'd like to see the Dürers, and it's like, oh, sorry. So don't delay. This exhibit, Bringing Christ to the Highlands, is at CHI. It's a free exhibit. We have a catalog. If you're not in the St. Louis area, we have a printed catalog that shows many of the artifacts of this mission work in Papua New Guinea. Again, we'd love to share that with you. So let us know how we can get this in your hands.
Very good.
Also, we want to let you know that Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, it's the new issues come out. It's 80 pages, 76 pages of history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, history of the Lutheran Church in North America. It's got Franz Julius Biltz on the cover.
Who? Tell me more.
Have you ever interviewed Franz Julius Biltz?
I have.
Probably not. He was a pastor in Concordia, Missouri, during the time of the Civil War, and you know, it was talk about a wilderness. There was these bushwhackers, you know, just groups of lawless, violent people that were running around. He actually was kidnapped, and by God's grace, finally was let go. I don't know if that's because they found out he was a pastor or what, but just an incredible life as a pastor. He was president of the Western District, which was everything west of the Mississippi. Great article about his turmoil during the Civil War.
A lot of just amazing things I didn't even think about, you know, how just how dangerous and unruly things were at that time still.
And again, you know, the pastor was one of the leaders of the community. Mm-hmm. So they had a report that the bushwhackers were coming. They would just come and cause chaos. So Pastor Biltz was one of those who organized parties to go out and defend the community. So they split up into two groups. One went one way, one went the other, and you know, half of them didn't return. So it's real stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And God's people are not immune to that. God continues to put us in the world to be a leaven and a salt and a light, but that doesn't insulate us from being part of a fallen world.
And that's in Historical Institute Quarterly, right?
Yes.
CHI.
CHIQ. Or the Q, as we affectionately call it at CHI. So if you're not a subscriber, if you're not a member of CHI, we'd, again, love to put a sample in your hand so you can see these historical articles that are coming out, you know, every few months. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot to be written. You'd think it all would all be done by now. But
that's because we're making history right now.
We are. We are. I'd also like to encourage people, if you can come, we have this thing called Walther Roundtable. It's an annual gathering of people doing research on the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to present the latest of their research. So we have some anniversary years coming up, and we have a star cast of presenters. So on April 13th, Wednesday, beginning at 8:45 in the morning, we're going to have presentations about the history of the Lutheran Church. Pastor Jonathan Ripke will be presenting on C.F.W. Walther and the General Council. If you don't know anything about the General Council, come and you can learn about that. It's a fascinating history as far as how Lutheranism organized under confessional guidelines in North America. So Pastor Ripke will be presenting on that. We have Dr. Larry Rass, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He's going to come and talk about the Altenburg debate. And as you had mentioned, that's one of the important parts of the new Walther movie, is this debate between Walther and Marburg. And what do we do now that our bishop is across the Missouri River? So Altenburg debate, it's an anniversary year for that, so we want to celebrate that. Dr. Rast will be talking about why this is important, not only in history, but for the church today. And then we have Dr. Gerhard Bode. He's on the in the history department at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, is going to present on President Winneken's writing called "The Distress of the German Lutherans in North America." This article was read widely in Europe, and because of that, William Lay sent these emergency pastors to North America because there were no pastors in this wilderness called North America. So Walther Roundtable, April 13th, RSVP us, and we'd love to have you there at this annual event.
What's the easiest way to RSVP?
Give us a call, 314-505-7900, or you can look us up on the internet, just ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. That works too.
Very good. We have about 30 seconds left. Anything else coming up the next few weeks? It's okay if there isn't.
Well, we're getting ready for the Synod Convention in Milwaukee this summer.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you about what we're going to bring to that, but I can't. It's a big secret.
I thought they were giant buttons.
Yeah, that's part
of
it.
You came in with a giant button on one day, and I thought that's what you were bringing.
Yeah, I had to take it off because I got a paper cut on my neck.
It was huge. It was almost the size of a plate.
Oh, that's for the visually impaired. I'll bring it back next week, okay?
Historically speaking, Concordia Historical Institute, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, thanks for coming over today.
It's always a blessing. Thank you, Andy.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time.